The Burf is back. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We offer your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio wave. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 Kelvin to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Daryl?
I certainly can feel it. It is working.
All right. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except for governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I almost did it. I almost did it again. I almost pulled a Diana.
What did she almost do?
Oh, Diana, whenever she reads that, she says BIPCOT.org. And it's very tempting to do every single time.
Yes, it's good to differentiate.
Yes.
In fact, I want a .org domain at some point.
Oh, yeah. And that's see, now point. I'm going to get you tempted to do it.
I'm not going to say careful. It like that. No, I'm going to be very clear.
Ain't going to do it.
Enunciation. I will enunciate every aspect of this show, even rejuvenative, which I struggle with every single time I read that, by the way.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. And I'm glad one of us will be enunciating tonight.
It's like, I'm gonna have to tell Michael, could you pick a more challenging word? You know, maybe like the ontological concomitant experiences of freedom fiends or something like that, you know?
Right, well, you know, it's no Cerulius, but it'll do.
Cerulius both looks and sounds beautiful. And honestly, I make no claims that I can define the term.
I agreed. It's almost surreal, the feeling that you get when.
But wait a second,
Cerulius.
Who are we in context to this show?
That's a good point. So I didn't introduce myself. I haven't been here for a while. I am Phil, for those who don't remember. I've been gone for a good few months due to sound issues, internet issues, apartment issues, and computer issues, and pretty much everything. And who am I here with?
I am Daryl, and I am usually here every single Monday evening for me, Tuesday a.m. early for most people. And
very cool.
Yeah, I've been on the Freedom Fiends at this point. It looks like I'm pushing 12 or 14 times. I'm starting to lose count. I think that's a good sign, personally speaking. And yeah, I've often been on here with James Weeks, and I've been here with Michael W. Dean when he is available to do yet another show. And yeah, whoever I possibly can go on a show with, basically. And tonight, that's you, man.
Very cool. Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Michael couldn't make it tonight. He was too busy being fondled by a camera on a worm this morning, and now he's enjoying a 24-hour uninterrupted fart, so, yeah.
I'm really glad that, I guess, he's okay from, you know, at least the digital messages that are going on.
Yeah.
So far.
You know what, Daryl?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah, I'm glad. So, anyway, somehow we became Freedom Fiends. I was recommended by multiple fiends. That's how I got on. I've been a bit behind the scenes and periodically on the School Sucks podcast. If you heard of that one, Phil?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that guy whose name suddenly has escaped my brain.
Brett Fanott is... Yeah. or Bert Fanott, as some call him. But Brett Fanott is definitely already on his cross-country School Sucks Across of America journey that a lot of people, he's got many stops, many ways of people connecting with the dude. My favorite podcast, honestly. I mean, if I had to choose a favorite, I love having variety, of course, you know. And I love this podcast, of course, because I'm on it. And
you know what my favorite podcast is?
I would
the
love
Freedom
to
Freedom Fiends.
What, yeah, I bet you're going to kiss that one. Yeah, well, honestly, I kissed the ring. Yes, you will kneel to the Lord Nazgul. Okay, so that's a very nerd reference. So
Yeah, that's beyond my level of nerd.
Yeah, it's Lord of the Rings reference to the ring race. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, I'm not going to start speaking Elvish or Klingon tonight.
Okay, well, that's good. Although I might actually understand something you say if you...
But I got on because of the recommendations of other fiends who I've worked with in other capacities. And how did you get here, Phil?
I got here by annoying Michael. That's really it. He was putting out an open call for new fiends because he did one of his regular purgings. And I just contacted him on Facebook. I said, hey, I'd like to try it. And here is a video that I did a while back talking about how completely full of it Stefan Molyneux is. And he really liked it, so he put me on. And that's really all it was.
That's awesome. And I was definitely complimenting your radio voice earlier off the air. And I think everyone who's listening says, yeah, that's the kind of voice we're looking for. That's... You have the voice of authority, Phil, so you could tell us the statistics on what the real deal of things is, right?
No.
Okay, maybe not.
But thank you. No, I'm so Daryl's actually alluding to the fact that I'm a statistician in my day job and my work. That's actually something that a lot of people sort of confuse about statisticians. So a lot of people assume that statisticians know a lot of, you know, random facts, random statistics. And, you know, we do kind of because we pick them up, but it's not, it's more that just we know how to apply statistics to certain areas. So we can, identify trends here and patterns there because of, through statistical processes, and fancy maths. But the number of statistical facts that I can say offhand are actually relatively limited.
I feel the same way for the professions that I'm skilled in. I have studied acupuncture and oriental medicine for more than 20 years. There's plenty that I cannot, like a dictionary or encyclopedia, pop right up to my lips and have access to. I know precisely how to do what I need to do in the given moment, but the knowledge that I have in the books behind me, no, I have to actually find things still, you know, if I don't have it at hand. That's why we have, you know, digital resources to get there faster. But there's a lot of things that are out there in our fields of study, Phil, and they're just not accessible or useful. Oh, yeah, by the way, the rain is picking up over here, so if that gets in your way, can you give me some sign that it's a problem, okay?
If I hear a whole bunch of clattering.
Yeah, it happens. It's windy and rainy here. But
yeah, well, we just call that ambiance.
It is ambiance right now. Anyway, it's interesting that you're here because of a Facebook purge. No, not because of a Freedom Fiends co-host purge somehow, as you mentioned. It was a purge of removals, and you're here. And I was just on Facebook doing a similar purge thing where I posted something inflammatory. So, just saying that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that... It happened.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that is... It's really coming down over there, isn't it?
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, like I mentioned earlier, it's possible that the board op makes it so that no one else can hear it except for you, because he can't change what you hear. Because can't change Fiend Phone, you know. By the way, we're all speaking over Fiend Phone right now, so... this is Fiend Phone at a place in the tropics where it's rainy, and imagine how much worse it would sound if it was on some other inferior system. I'm just trying to plug Fiend Phone.
Oh yeah, yeah. And it is interesting how we can come to this from completely different sides of the world. And you know, one person from Hawaii, and I'm of course in the Seattle area in Washington, where it's probably a good, like, 30 degrees colder than it is down there, at least I would assume.
Oh, it's...
I imagine we get similar rain patterns.
It's pretty... Yeah, similar rain. I mean, it's pretty room temperature right now, I would say, you know. Shorts and t-shirt kind of thing. Most all of the time.
Yeah.
I recommend it. Except for most people, you're just not going to do it, so I don't care. I mean, I recommend living here, but more people are going to do what you're doing, Phil. More people are going to move to Seattle because they want to make money.
Yeah. Right? That's why I moved out here. Well, also, yeah, I just like the area. Yeah.
I like it too. I mean, I've been up in the Space Needle. It's wild, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, some people like to make money. Some people like to walk around naked. It's, yeah.
Naked is fine at certain times, but most of the time, I like pockets, and honestly, I don't live in the super duper hot tropics. I live in the North Pacific.
You just lack creativity, man.
You're right. Yeah, I'll take that diagnosis. Daryl Becker lacks creativity.
That's
still
okay.
Dependent, pocket dependent. See.
Okay, I much prefer cold weather, which is another reason why I came up here. I like it to snow. I like it to where there's no limit to how much I can protect myself from the elements. I came up here from Florida, and when it's too hot, there's only so much you can take off before you get arrested. So when it's cold, you can just keep layering on until you look like Sasquatch.
I totally understand. I came from Vermont before this, so talk about layers, you know.
It's
a wee bit colder.
You didn't go to New Hampshire?
Oh, you know, I went to New Hampshire after the fact. You see, I didn't understand what was going on. I moved here in 2008, you know. Things were they're just starting to heat up over there as far as the Free State Project, honestly. You know, I moved here and I had high-speed internet all of a sudden, and then I had access to these shows. And I know I'm running up close to the break, but I'm just saying that it took me a while. I had to move over here to understand what I had access to over there. And I've been to Porkfest 2016. That was awesome. And yeah, I look forward to the next time I'm able to go out to see New Hampshire.
Awesome. Yeah, well, after the break, maybe we'll hear some of the reasons why, after moving to Hawaii, you became a voluntarian. After the break.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This is Michael Dean from The Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agoristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
We were chatting a little bit about how you moved to Hawaii before, or, you know, also called Halloween, apparently, before we, I swear, October is getting to me. It's just, it's breaking my brain. But we were speaking about how you moved to Hawaii before you became a voluntarian. And
yeah, a voluntarian. That sounds like a cupcake that a voluntarist would eat.
Yeah. Well, it's better than consensualist, which is what another term that I've used, and then been, you know, invited to S&M parties, which I'm not really so much into. I know that Michael would be cool with that, but that's not really my gig. But anyway, yeah,
living in Hawaii, and I was very enamored of democracy, and I was very considering, you know, we're all the people, and we can fix this
Fiend
corrupt
phone.
System.
Fiend
so you're a communist.
This is
Michael W. Deans. Yeah.
The Free Fiend Phone, unnecessary random re-education interruption exigency service, or furries. Hey, put on your leather jacket of liberty and prepare to look cool, kids. It's the Freedom Fiends. I said today that, you guys heard that? You know what I'm talking about? You know.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I said that, for a lot of people, leather liberty is like a leather jacket you put on to put to look cool. I'm coming down for propofol. You guys know what propofol is?
Is that what knocks you out feel like? When you get something up your ear?
Me too. Yeah. Speaking of the hashtag Me Too today, and did you guys explain what Me Too is yet?
No, not yet. You can do it.
Okay. Well, I do want to say that I heard you guys. You said you were making such funny jokes, and I was like, you know, I have an answer to some of those jokes. Like they said, you know, I said to my wife, man, they're having too much fun. I want to get on there and stop them. And she said, oh, just let them be, because she's sleepy and she thought I was serious. I'm probably serious. I'm going to stop you from having too much fun. Yeah.
Stop us, Michael.
I will. So today, we both thought it was pretty funny when Phil said Michael had one of his regular host purges and invite, man. Yeah. So I had a purge. It's true. I do it. I fired a communist this week. He's a good guy. We still like him. I still like him. I'll still talk to him.
Yeah. In my experience, anytime somebody says that they're an anarchist without adjectives or without suffixes,
they're a communist.
Probably communist.
Yeah. Yeah, unless they're an anarcho-capitalist like us, the cool kind. Well, I'll speak for myself here. I think
there we go.
Daryl's probably something weird. What are you?
You know, I like the word individual and
communist. Like I'm kidding.
Yeah,
that's the last word they use for real.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, pin me down, that kind of thing. That really irritates some
speaking
people.
Of, pin me down, baby. I was pinned down today. I was speaking of Me Too. Me Too is this hashtag. Okay, hashtag is something that goes back to early Unix days. It's where you use a pound symbol and then a phrase. But lately, it means something you do on Twitter to like create a movement. It's a neat idea. It's the only reason Twitter's still alive. But it's like you make a hashtag that says Me Too, at capital, you know, pound sign. I'm explaining the internet to computers to old people, or actually, I'm probably talking to people who worked on Unix computers in the old days and, you know, haven't really been able to use computers until they became phones, and they're still like going, Siri, post a hashtag, because they don't know what to do. Siri, spread this word. Go ahead.
It's just because they used hashtags before they were cool.
I know. They go back to like the 50s or 60s. Huh. The 60s. It's a vintage thing. Yeah. So there's a hashtag, Me Too.
So which, what does that mean?
Explain it. Phil's a statistician. Explain it.
What? What does statistics statistician? Have to do with me? Yeah, but I mean,
well,
okay,
statistically, so most people are idiots. Here, I'll do it.
You didn't, Phil, you're running out of time. Okay.
Yeah. Seriously, I'm about to do one of my purges. We only got 30 seconds left. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. Me Too is a rape thing. It's not really a rape thing. It's a
rape thing. You wouldn't understand. Here, I've been fondled. I was fondled as a teenager by a neighbor. Let me take this. And I was fondled today by a man who drugged. Maybe I'll just say this at the end, right before we go to the break. So today, Me Too is a hashtag. Like, if you've been molested, you're supposed to, is it molested or raped? I know some people are expanding it.
It's either sexually assaulted or sexually harassed.
Oh, really? I was sexually harassed this morning. I'm so good looking. Okay. Yep. Today, a stranger drugged me and went and touched my butt while other people watched. We're going to talk about it when we get back. Me Too.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Burp, burp, burp. We
are back.
Freedom Fiends are back.
And we just we were just hearing about how Michael was violated this morning. And
there was consensual violations.
It was, he was asking for it, really.
Yeah. It was a medical procedure.
it was. And what was that thing he took to that he was describing? Epicat? It was an Epicat.
I don't know what it is that you're describing there, Phil. Can you try again?
It was, I don't know. It was something to prep you for, shall we say, insertion. And this is a very uncomfortable topic for a uptight nerd like me to be talking about.
It's okay, because you are a young man who doesn't need a colonoscopy, so it's okay.
Yeah. I am happy to say that I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah, I mean, what are you, at 24 now? Is that,
I'm going to go with that. I'm going to let you stay with that estimate.
See, Phil just turned 24. He's really ready for romance. So if you're really interested, consider him as your voluntarist of choice. So
thank you for the dating service, Daryl.
Yeah, I mean, you can try that with me, but yeah. I'm already in a happy situation. And welcome back, Michael.
Was my mic open? Oh no.
Oh yeah, it was cool. It was like little background ambiance, as they say.
Okay,
yeah,
luckily we heard
you urinate. Yes.
Okay, you didn't hear what happened after that, did you? Okay, so Phil, no. You've never had a colonoscopy, have you?
I have not.
Yeah, you don't. What you kept saying something about a 24-hour fart. That's not what happens. It's a 24-hour, like, with an S-H-A-R-T at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Wait,
what?
Well, I was just basing that off of a an old comedy routine by Robin Williams. He went in for a colonoscopy, and he walked out just, like, farting throughout the entire elevator ride. And
it doesn't happen. Yeah, he doesn't know. So
it was funny.
The drug of choice now for that, well, yeah, God rest his smutty soul. The drug of choice now for this is propofol, which is what Michael Jackson died of. Speaking of being touched, okay, we'll talk about that. That would have been a good segue to me,
Neverland.
Too. Yeah, well, he died of, okay, propofol is like, they call it it's a milky looking because they deliver it in like a tasty soy mixture into your vein. I don't know why, but they, you know, it's a soy, literally a soy emulsion of this drug. And the nickname for that drug, because it's milky looking, is milk of amnesia. It's one of those drugs that, you know, they put the line in your arm and then they go, all right, count back from 100 and you get to like 97 and then you wake up in the recovery room. Although they don't do that anymore. Did you guys? I think that's something they used to do just to entertain themselves. Like, it seems like part of the science, but every time with that kind of drug, it's like, you ever done surgery and they do that?
They did that to me when I had my wisdom teeth taken out.
Long time ago, right?
Yep. This was about a decade ago.
I really think that's just something that doctors used to do to, like, impress the newbies in the room. You know, like, boy, look how this works. Because it does it every time, you know. But milk of amnesia, man, this would be a great dape rate drug if you were, you know.
Dape rate. There we go.
Yeah, there's a word. There's a hashtag, dape rate. So today I went into a room and a man drugged me and played with my butt while strangers watched. Man was a stranger, too. Good times.
How many strangers?
Oh, there were probably three or four other people in the room. There was an anesthesiologist. There was a nurse. There was a, you know, I don't know. Okay, for all I know, one of them could have just been the doctor's, you know, cousin who wants to come in and watch a guy pass out in 3 seconds when they shoot him up with milk of amnesia. You know, this would be a really good truth serum, too. So 2 years ago, I had one. Usually, I'm every 5 or 10 years after age of 40. I started at age 50 and 51 and had one, and they removed a bunch of polyps, precancerous polyps. And
wait, it's 40 now?
Wait, what year is 50? It's 50, right?
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know, 40. You're like, wait, do I need one soon?
No, I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I like Daryl's estimation of my age better than yours.
What is it?
I estimated he was, you know, around 24 or so.
Yeah. No. That's well, you don't look 40, but you look exactly like closer than same lineup with my friend Richard Karse, who was the artist for Bomb, who was shot by police in Florida and killed. And I was like, you know, 27, and he was like 40. He was like the oldest person I'd ever met in my life that wasn't a grandparent at that point. So I always thought of him as old. And, you know, now that I'm 53 and he died at 41 or something, you know, he's aging with me in my brain. So he's still, you know, 13 years older than me. So you are 13 years older than me in my mind.
I can buy that.
That makes sense.
But I like how you responded to that. You don't look 40, but you do look like somebody who'd get shot by police.
So be careful of that, because that could be catchy, you know,
yeah.
Contagious you, even. So just yeah, you, don't get too close. Okay.
You fit a description, Phil.
Yeah, sure I mean, I driving while Phil, that's a I mean, real problem.
When there's a bolo, where they should be on the lookout for, you know, is there a limit to the range and the years of that? Like, oh, I that guy, a description of that guy came over the radio back when I was working in Jacksonville in 91. Shoot him.
We got well-coiffed hair and deep voice. Sounds good on radio. Pull him
high
over.
High cheekbones, probably a statistician. Look out, he's a statistician. Careful, they're that's crepuscular.
So the rate of daping that you went through to get to that statistician. Cool. Yeah.
Propofol, you know, the reason I think Michael Jackson was like abusing propofol to sleep with, like, he had his private doctor who just give it to him every night. He was on that and Ativan and like some and some what are those, the class of drugs that Valium's in?
Tranquilizers.
Yeah, so he was on like three tranquilizers. No, that like Milk of Amnesia. It's actually abused sometimes by doctors because it's kind of euphoric.
Benzodiazepines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he was on like Milk of Amnesia, a benzo, and Ativan, which may also be. He was on three things that can kill you, and like Milk of Amnesia is never to be, you know, they say it's never to be administered without oxygen and, you know, supervision. But his doctor was just giving him like enough to knock. Basically, I think that Michael Jackson needed this because he'd done such horrible things. He needed to be this sedated to sleep every night to live with himself. What do you think? Allegedly. Hashtag.
Either that or because his face was under constant surgical.
That was creepy, removal. Man. Yeah.
I don't know what happened with that guy, but it seemed like the entire childhood and adulthood seemed messed up.
Yeah. Well,
they do a lot of touchy-feely stuff with, you know, that are not so awesome. Very Me Too kind of stuff happens with these stars.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Corey Haim, you know what is also? Oh, yeah, yeah. There was a thing going around recently of him talking about how, yeah, all the elites in Hollywood are molesting kids all the time. It happened to both me and the other Corey.
They love that. Yeah, Corey Feldman still talks about that, as far as I know.
Yeah, but, you know, Corey Feldman's messed up, man. Corey Feldman runs a cult, allegedly. Have you heard about this?
No.
Well, I've seen it. I've seen the performances, if you can call them that.
Oh. Well, Corey Feldman has a rented mini mansion, you know, in, I don't know, not in Hollywood, somewhere out in the sticks where that still counts as Hollywood land. But there was someone from Vice that was invited to a party at his house, and it was like, you know, this, he was house poor. Like, it was this giant house on the outside, nice neighborhood. You go in, it's like empty, and there's a party, and like everyone had to pay to get into the party. And he's got like 25 gals who look kind of hot and young, and you get close and they're not so hot and young, and they're all scantily clad. And he has contracts with all of them as management contracts, but it's got things in it like, you will not text other men, you will be available for sexual servitude. I don't think it says that, but basically he's, you know, doing all of
like
a coke
head contract.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Yeah, but I have a lot more in my heart for Corey than I do for Kokesh. Yeah.
Wow, Corey versus Kokesh.
That'd be a good presidential ticket. Oh, R. Kelly had a cult going, allegedly. Yeah. Yeah, but I think R. Kelly's might have been harder to leave. I think Corey Feldman's, you could just go, ugh, and just you know, call, sneak out the door and never come back. I think R. Kelly might have had guard dogs and fences and tasers. I don't know. Allegedly. So the doctor touched me in special places today. He probably took pictures, too. But they didn't find any things growing in me, any little butt worms. What do they call them? Polyps. He said the guy was funny. They were like, he came in and met me for like 30 seconds. He's like, well, we're going to go in there today, and we're going to see if there are any polyps. And if they are, today is the day of harvesting. And he kind of said it like biblical like that. It was weird. Like, the day of harvesting.
Why does he want to harvest these? I think he really wants some polyps for his collection.
I think
that's
really
odd.
I think he's from the CIA, and they're going to clone me from my polyps. They probably implanted a listening device while they were there. I think I need to start digging and find out. You ever remember that scene where Bruce Willis pulls his tooth out because there's a camera in it? What movie is that?
12 Monkeys?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, maybe. That sounds right. Where he gets the call from the future. I get calls from the future all the time, man. It's creepy. But they're bad audio, just like his call from the future. They're degraded. So it's like digital degradation. So when you come out of milk of amnesia, like I wake up in the recovery room. You know, they say you're going to be out in 15 seconds. 5 seconds later, I'm waking up in the recovery room. It was really about a half hour. And there's a nurse, and she's trying to, like, test to see if I, you know, how well I'm coming out of it. And she's like, so last time I did this, I came out of it. They said I came out of it swearing and pulling the lines out of my arm, pulling my IVs out. Like, I woke up angry. Like, I think I thought I was undergoing an alien autopsy with the CIA. Because, you know, I'm on GCN, and we are targets, because Alex Jones is on here, and he has the documents, and I have the documents, and maybe the documents were there, and they found them and didn't tell me, but I was swearing, like, 2 years ago. So I don't have to have another one of these for more than 2 years, probably, depending on what they find, but, you know, if they find polyps, years, but, so anyway, real quick, I'll save this. I don't know, she can't, you know, she said, like, do you know who you are? I said, yeah. She said, well, who are you? I said, well, I'm Michael Dean. And she said, you know, do you know where you are? And I said, yeah, Wyoming Medical Center on 2nd Street, or is it 1st Street? She's like, she asked me what I do with my spare time, you know, and I said, I do the Freedom Fiends.
Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird
friends.
She's
sexually harassing me.
Yes,
what do you do with your spare time?
Broadcasting this worms, into space.
I hear it.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
It's the Freedom Fiends.
Woof. Burp.
Burp. Burp. Still, you sound good. You're not dropping out.
Thank you.
Stop out. What changed?
Nothing. I'm just having a lucky night, I think.
Since this is a teaching hospice where we give you milk of amnesia and play with your butt on the air.
Yeah.
I guess all I'm saying with this butt talk is don't be afraid to get a colonoscopy. Don't be like Daryl, who's just going to eat a tape when he turns 50 and pull it through over 6 days' time. That's a thing,
I'm
right?
I'm going to eat a long piece of...
Kelp.
Yeah, something like that.
Kelp tape. Yeah, and then tie it to a conch shell, and let it slowly walk away from you. A conch?
Yeah.
But Phil? Go ahead, Phil.
Oh, man. I gotta say,
show me where the doctor touched you on the doll.
You have not made me less afraid to get a colonoscopy.
The more that you know, public service announcement from the Freedom Fiends. Let men touch your butt. Yeah.
Yeah. When the fart turned into something more cursy.
Yeah. Well, basically, okay. The worst part of a colonoscopy, anyone who's had one will tell you, is not the stranger touching your butt while you're on milk of amnesia. That's like having a weird dream that has no dreams. The worst part is the prep. So you basically have to, how many hours before? Let's see, like 24 hours before, you have to stop eating solid food. and you have to only eat clear liquids, like broth. You ever had broth? It's like chicken soup without the soul. It's just, it's clear liquid made from chicken fat. You can have Jell-O, but not purple or red or green. Certain colors of Jell-O, because it like stains inside you and they can't see what they're doing as well. You can have water. You can have Gatorade. And you have to have Gatorade because this drains your electrolytes. You take this prep, that's this liquid that they give you when you're getting one of these. You take the prep and you immediately have to go number two. And then 10 minutes later, you have to go number two. You go number two like, 10 times in 4 hours at least. And it's a lot each time. And then the next morning before the prep, you have to do it again. You know, like 4 or 5 hours before you go to the hospital. And then for like 4 hours before the procedure, you cannot have any liquids. And that's really horrible too, because you're just parched and you can't even have ice chips or anything. So the prep is worse than the touching. So Me Too, anyone out there listening, I think we should co-opt Me Too and have it be a hashtag for people that have had colonoscopies. See, I'm not making fun. Daryl got in trouble today on the internet. It's funny because I posted something much worse than you did, and I didn't get in as much trouble because Facebook is hell banning me. I think really like only me and three people that I tag can see my, you know, you guys and a few other, all the male fiends, Diana, and basically all the fiends in Virgil Viduva. Oh, by the way, use Cell411. It's a great app. Go to getcell411.com. It's an app that allows you to film anything that happens and upload it. So if someone takes your phone, they don't take your freedom. You can take my phone, but you cannot take my freedom. Let's suggest that to Virgil as a hashtag.
I think I'm just picturing Virgil dressed up as, you know, with blue on his face right now. And
I could see it. You
know, yeah, posed on his Audi. That's totally Virgil.
Well, because he's got his Audi. Yeah, surrounded by his hot wife and then other hot chicks he just pays to show up around his Audi, which, because he can. I mean, really.
Dressed up in some tight vinyl.
I really like Virgil. And I liked him before he became rich, but he's pretty fun as a rich guy because now he flips off cops because he can afford to go fight it. It's funny.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah, he does. Like every week he's got, well, I'm in court next week and I'm hiring a hot attorney and some hot chicks to go to court with me. Why not?
Discretionary, yeah. Cop flipping off funds. That's yeah. Really awesome.
Well, you know, he goes to bed and he wakes up and like he's got more money overnight, more than when he went to sleep, than some people like me will have in their lifetime, because he bought that stuff called Bitcoin that everyone said is worthless back when it was worthless. Yeah.
Wise worms.
I didn't finish a sentence. Worms. What was
wise
it?
Worms.
What was I talking about? Go quick, so we'll know next time. Doctors touch me in the bud. Virgil can hire discretionary ladies.
Use Cell 411 when someone's touching your butt.
Oh, yeah. When
someone's yeah, but only if they're wearing a shiny bag.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Worms.
Worms. Too much fun. Should be illegal. There ought to be a law against this much fun on radio. I think there is.
Probably is.
They don't enforce it because they want an audience on radio so they can take it over. Trump has a button on his unencrypted Android phone to just take over all the radio.
Biptunia, music for the drive to Alpha Centauri. Biptunia's influences are Gary Numan, Brian Eno, Pink Floyd, David Bowie, Led Zeppelin, Grateful Dead, Frank Zappa, Robert Fripp, Blondie, Kraftwerk, and Dead Kennedys. Biptunia styles are trip-hop, rock, pop, glam, industrial, ambient, jazz, and space. Plus, it's got cats and is covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license. You can download Biptunia's music free. Go to biptunia.com. That's BIPTUNIA. Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, November, India, Alpha, biptunia.com.
Did you filibuster, Phil?
Freedom Fiends. Filibuster.
Yeah.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibHair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except for governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah. Spillback? Daryl? The other one?
I'm here. I'm here.
Y'all, you good?
I'm good.
Worms.
Yeah, a monkey grabbed his microphone. A monkey grabbed his microphone and ran off into the jungle, right?
This happens sometimes. He's got to roll with it. That's why it's good to, the Army motto, two is one, one is none. So have another, AT-2100 to plug in. Get ready for it.
I've been recording vocal, what do they call them? Vocals, singing, with a Audio Technica USB 2005. Great mic. Go to Freedom Fiends.
I love the 2005.
Yeah, it's vintage. Go to that site and go to Freedom Fiends, that site, and scroll down the bottom right, and there's a little link that says, get the wonderful, inexpensive microphone the Freedom Fiends use, and there's an explanation of how to use it and where to get it, and it's a great mic, man, because people go out and buy absurd mics. A common one is the Yeti, which is like $140, I think, and it's far worse than the Audio Technica that we're using. So people are stupid, and it's like one of the number one, when you go on Amazon, it says number four in musical equipment all over Amazon. And I'm just like, ugh. Well, Hillary Clinton's popular too. So I want to talk about a problem I have. It's Eurorack. My name is Michael and I have Eurorack. I'm not addicted though. I can stop anytime I want. But so Phil, what's Eurorack? Eurocrack?
Eurorack. I'm actually not that well versed on this. It's a modular synthesizer thing, right?
System. It's a protocol, basically. It's a some company came up with synthesizers. The things you make audio with, starting back in the late '60s, used to be modular, and then Moog. And yeah, that's how you say it. It's not Moog. Robert Moog came out with. He was originally making theremins. Then he was making modular synthesizers, which are
I love theremins.
I love theremins.
Hey, I got a theremin. You got a theremin? Yeah. I love one. I love more than you if you don't have a theremin.
You probably have an optical theremin.
I'm waiting for a paycheck. When I get my next paycheck, I'll get a theremin.
Yeah.
So, you have a theremin, Moog, Daryl? Not yet. No, I'm out of it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're making fun of me for not loving theremins enough, but I've got one and you don't, so I must love them more. But I have an optical one, which is kind of cheating. But,
I'm there's so many radio waves. Superiority, so.
Yeah, here's a question. Does your theremin work yet?
No, I had to send it to some fan to a good fan to put it together for me.
Yeah. So you don't actually have a theremin, you have theremin pieces.
I have futures. I invested in futures, theremin futures.
Theremin futures.
I invested $30 in theremin futures. But if theremins are anything like Bitcoin, they'll be worth $40 in 2 years. Bitcoin, not Bitcoin, which is kind of joke
on the cryptocurrency market cap. It's in the 600s and
hey, there's probably 1200 cryptocurrencies, so that's the top of the bottom, and it's actually selling. Like some days it's like 4 or 5 cents. It was 2 cents when it came out 2 years ago. So
I need to start speculating on Bitcoin,
and people are mining the heck out of it. It doesn't have the difficulty of a big boy coin, but for a poo coin, as they call them. Man, now that I handed it off.
By the way,
the
last commercial before we got back gave me an idea of
what is it?
Colonics.
Wow.
A new digital token to sell?
Yeah, some sort. Yeah.
Well, someone did make a a token and had a token sale for a token that is useless and says it's useless. And it actually sold better than a lot of tokens that have a business plan and grand schemes for things. So I thought that was pretty funny. I like it. So you could make a token called Poo Token. That's making it radio friendly. And see how you do with that, I think. Yeah.
It'll probably do well.
So Eurorack is the word's not protocol. What is it? It's a standard. So modular synthesizers back in the 60s and 70s. If you ever see a picture of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, Keith Emerson, who blew his brains out a few years ago because his music was no longer relevant. Man, that's the time to get another hobby. That's what I did. I used to be in bands, but then I just have fun now. I was sad when I heard that. What's that? Yeah, it is therapy. Yeah. Well, you know, my wife plays games on her... That sounds horrible. My wife plays games. Not with
video
my head.
Games.
She's great. She plays not even video games, but like world-building games on her phone. Hmm. She loves it. She loves it a lot. And, you know, I used to be like, that's kind of silly, but whatever. And she pointed out that there's a lot of research that this can actually prevent Alzheimer's, any kind of like, you know... If you're doing puzzles all day of some kind, it prevents brain rot, basically, or slows it down, or it decreases your chances of any kind of, what's that called when you can't remember things?
Dementia.
Dementia, yeah, that's it. Let's go back to the, like Homer says, let's go back to the place where our TV and couch is. Yeah. But you know I realized helps? That playing music is going to stop me from that, too. Because, like, the kind of music I'm doing is a lot of kind of, it's not math rock. I mean, I'm making pop, synth pop, basically. But it's a lot of, like, moving things around and seeing what works where and then, like, thinking three or four steps ahead. Go on, Phil.
I was just going to say that another thing that helps with brain rot is keeping your legs exercised. Well, exercise in general, but especially leg exercises.
Well, Boston Tea Party bought me a little trampoline, one of those little mini tramps, which sounds like a short prostitute, but a mini tramp is actually, who said, like you want one? Who said that?
That's me. I understand the value because basically you fixed yourself by jumping up and down, right, Michael?
I did. I'm getting healthier. I mean, I'm not doing much of it. I'm doing like 50 bounces at one time on a bad day and, you know, like 250 on a good day, which is 50 at a time, you know, 1 hour apart for five during the day. But that's a lot more extras than I got.
For some reason, I imagined you getting that for your wife and saying, here, it'll keep you healthy.
Why?
The trampoline. Girls, never mind.
Mini tramp? You making a mini tramp joke about my wife? Only I can do that, Phil.
Boundaries.
You know,
it's funny that Daryl can't pronounce rejuvenative because he's in the business of rejuvenative.
It is funny That's how I messed point. That one up. Yeah.
I know. That was the joke I made in my head that made me want to get on the show and make jokes on here. So Eurorack. So You've back in Eurorack. The 70s, you know, I have Eurorack problems. My name is Michael and I have Eurorack. So in the 70s, when you saw Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, Keith Emerson had this like modular system behind him that towered over him that cost more than like four houses. Although he got it free, I think, because you know that like he probably sold more Moogs by playing that than you know like they say like Jimi Hendrix sold more Stratocasters by playing one than like every ad for Fender ever did, and you know. There were Yes and Emerson, Lake and Palmer and the Moody Blues and a few other bands just using Moogs. They got them free from Bob Moog. And, you know, Bob would say, what should I make next? And consult with those guys, which is cool. And I'm trying to foster the same kind of relationship with a few software companies right now because I'm cool. Because I'm rewriting my book, $30 Film School or Music School, to publish another edition. I finally got the rights back after came out like 15 years, 12 years ago. I don't know.
And well, Michael, I was just meeting with... Rick Wakeman from Yes, and he was speaking of his Moog, and I just made that up because I wanted to sound cool to
you. He's cool. He wears a purple cape when he plays, and he's the reason there's that picture of my fat butt standing there with a computer, two keyboards at 45-degree angles, because I have always wanted to have the, like, you know, surrounded cockpit of keyboards like my heroes Rick Wakeman and Keith Emerson did in the 70s. But these guys, they all had these racks that looked like 1940s telephone switching equipment with wires, like to literally patch things together, because there were modules. There was an oscillator, then there was a separate filter, then a separate, you know, LFO and a separate ADSR, and you patched them together in different configurations. And it was infinitely configurable, but it was you couldn't really use it live. Like now, on a lot of synthesizers, you just press buttons and it calls up presets. But go to preset 99 for SARS, preset 4 for song 4, that kind of thing. But so those are making a comeback, and basically they've made them smaller. And the new protocol uses 1/8-inch patch cords instead of 1/4-inch, and you know they're like a smaller rack size instead of big rack size. But people get into this, and I mean, spend tens of thousands of dollars. And a lot of people make music that's barely music, too. I mean, I posted on a Eurorack forum the other day. So who's actually making songs with verses and choruses instead of ambient, fun, you know, arpeggios only? And people got kind of mad, because I actually was kind of saying in a passive-aggressive way, you guys have more gear than talent.
I like saying things in a passive-aggressive way, especially on Facebook, honestly.
Yeah, I noticed. We're going to get there.
Yeah.
I'll do two more segments on it. We'll do this. You'll get the last half hour to talk about
how the internet touched you. Oh, that's like the redemption that I purchased.
No, redemption plus the one before that. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest. The more gear than talent thing is something that I have a bad habit with. It's what happens whenever I'm working a high pay contract. I tend to spend more money than I should on,
because you get euphoria, you get a little like endorphin rush 4 a.m. Yeah. Ordering something online. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, but funny story. Going back to the keeping your brain spry. I never understood synthesizers until it was explained to me in terms of Fourier series, which is
I don't know what that is.
That's math. I got a simpler explanation. Oh, go ahead.
Fourier series is just a sum of sines and cosines or other cyclical functions.
That's math. Create of course, that makes sense. Function.
Yeah.
Well, I heard I heard a really succinct thing on a Moog documentary that the oscillator is the stone and everything else is the chisel.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Daryl has an iPhone and he can send worms with it. And Daryl said that's cool, but I'm not going to spend $1,200 to spend $1,200 to send worms. I just copied Daryl's Apple Worm, and sent it back to everybody. So I stole your worms, Steve Jobs, from beyond the grave. The worms that are eating you in Gigi Allen's face.
If you go to Steve Jobs' gravesite right now, what you'll see over his tombstone is a spinning beach ball.
You know? Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
It's just,
I don't get it.
It's just that you haven't used a Windows machine. Trying to do something and the spinning beach ball of death is going on.
On Apple?
The MacBook.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. I thought you were serious. Yeah.
By the way, letting you know, on Gmail, they're not worms, they're caterpillars.
Oh,
you know, man. They're so caterpillars on mine, but that's what happens.
All right, so Eurorack is making a comeback, and it's pretty cool because you can buy all kinds of things, and there's all kinds of boutique companies that make little modules. And basically, you know, if you can make a circuit that fits in a certain space and uses a certain voltage, you know, you can do it. So I've been doing everything with SoftSynth, which is basically software synthesizer, which, you know, you can download great ones free pretty much and just use a, you know, $100 MIDI controller and make beautiful music. I've been doing that. But I've always wanted analog computers since 1975 when I was 11, and I was like Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, and I smoked pot and went, whoa, I want that. But back then, you know, a good synthesizer cost more than four houses, so I waited until the price went down and bought a $250 Arturia Microbrute, which is a really cool thing, and it, you know, they stay in tune better than they did in the 70s and don't have as many problems. But it only has one oscillator, so I figured out that if you, you could add a second oscillator. It's got a little, a tiny patch bay with like six holes in it. Six holes, no weighting. And that's what the...
Hashtag
I'm not going to make a mini tramp joke. Well, I did meet my wife on bondage.com. I don't know if you guys know that, but that is literally where I met my wife.
I think that they want to hear about that. They want to hear about that.
Give me a sandwich, honey. Oh, she's asleep. No, I don't need a sandwich. Just kidding. I'm kidding. But if she's awake, she'd get me a sandwich. But I love her, and we're equals, and we're wonderful. It's cool. I'll get her a sandwich, too, but she would never speak to me like that. But it's kind of a joke, but it's kind of true, but it's kind of fun. All right, so microbrutes. Wait, so I got this second...
Are we going back to
Eurorack? Yeah. So I got this second oscillator to use my Eurorack. So between the oscillator... and the power supply for the oscillator, I spent, and the cables, and the import duty, which turned out to be USA charging me 45% of what it cost, thanks Trump, to bring this into the country from Greece. I ended up spending more on this one oscillator than I did on the whole microbrute. I spent $320 on that, so I'm done spending money on Eurocrack. I'm not going to buy more. I can make cool noodly sounds that I couldn't make before, but... So somebody told me to go on this community called Muff Wiggler. Can you say it on radio? It's a Eurorack forum. It's the biggest Eurorack forum. And he was like, yeah, it's really cool. You know, it's a cool site. And it's not PC because it's called Muff Wiggler. So there's no communists on it. I'm like, oh, great. So I went on there. And the first thing I posted was like, I thought it was Greece VAT tax that made this cost so much. And I called Greece a failed state. And all of a sudden I had like 85 leftists calling me a racist for calling Greece a failed state. Now, and I said, like, all states are failed. Greece has been around longer, so it's failed more. And they're like, really got mad. All these Europeans, all these socialists. And like, I ended up leaving the site. And the guy, I told the guy, like, I thought you said there are no communists on there. And he's like, well, see, there's a rule of no politics, and you didn't know that. I broke it, so I saw a side of them that we never saw before, because I don't read the rules on a forum. I'm like, I'm Michael Dean, darn it, I don't have to read your rules. Yeah, so basically, well, it's where communists spend credit cards to spend, you know, $10,000 or $20,000, and then make stuff that's not nearly as cool as I make on like $100 worth of equipment before I even got this. That's what you're
like privilege.
Is. But then there's a few people like, you know, I mean, like Trent Reznor has $100,000 worth of Euro racks and makes some cool stuff on it and probably writes it all off on his taxes because he can. Because he has like Google money, even though, you know, like Google kind of paycheck money from rock and roll.
Have you seen Dead Mouse's studio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, it's ridiculous. Oh, he has a bunch
of
Euro racks.
He has R2-D2.
He owns
the R2-D2.
Yeah, the synth that made the R2-D2 sound.
Oh, yeah. It's a Moog. It's a Moog, right? Or an ARP. ARP 2600 is the one in Close Encounters.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his friends. Tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes loaded with hundreds of original funny sayings with great voices and great recording quality. It's arranged into seven categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun, too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free. Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi, A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
Propofol's a hell of a drug. All right, so... I think my cat took the cable I needed. I was looking during the when I first came on. The reason I didn't come on top show is looking for a cable. This like 99-cent splitter thing I have to so I can record the show, and so we can put the between ad banter, which is where the real party happens, up on my Patreon for my patriots or any fiends who want to hear it.
I have not been on a single B-roll.
Yeah, I know.
Been on a B-roll.
You probably didn't know it. I tell you when I'm recording. I'm the libertarian NSA. I record everything. No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
Mark Edge calls me that because sometimes when they mention me on Free Talk Live, which they do often, I call in immediately. And Mark Edge says I'm the libertarian NSA because I'm always listening.
It's true.
I'll take it.
I love when you do that.
Let's talk about weaponized hashtags.
Yeah.
What are weaponized hashtags, Daryl? And show me where they touched you today in bad places.
Today, I decided to make a post to describe, hey, I'm not exactly sure about this whole Me Too hashtag thing.
Wait. Yeah. Let's start again with the Me Too. It's been an hour since. Me Too is a thing that somebody started where some communist feminist said, post Me Too on the internet, not just Facebook, but you know, anywhere on the internet, any of the social medias where people yell at strangers. Post Me Too if you've been, what is it, raped or sexually harassed?
The words were sexually harassed or sexually assaulted.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm offended by that statement, which is not the same way most people are. So the point is, you're supposed to post that to show unity and get a conversation going. And when communists say, and I'm using the word communist loosely, basically everyone who's not an anarcho-capitalist, when communists say, let's unite and get a conversation going, they basically mean, like when they say that about guns, they mean we're going to take your guns away and we're going to point the state's guns at you to do it. So when they say they want to get a conversation going, they really mean there ought to be a law backed by guns to stop you from doing things. Like, didn't you guys have something in your show notes? I think we should mention this briefly, that some university in Florida, some town declared a state of emergency because a white nationalist is going to speak at the university.
Oh, is that's that accurate? Florida. Yeah, we got that one
Spencer's
right here.
Speaking at UF. Yeah.
Give me a little more info, and then we'll go back to the hashtags. You got the info there?
Yeah, I got it. So you want to do it? No, you do it, Phil, because your voice, you got it.
Yeah, you're sexy.
It's the power.
Well, so this is happening in Gainesville, Florida. Rick Scott is actually calling in a state of emergency simply because Richard Spencer is going to speak at the University of Florida. And because of all of the things that have happened surrounding any right-wing speaker, and being that it is Richard Spencer, an actual racist this time, he's expecting rioting and everything. And he's probably not wrong.
Richard Spencer is a polite racist, though, isn't he? Isn't he one of those, like... No, I'm thinking of Jared Taylor. Jared Taylor's the polite racist, right?
Or Jared Howe?
I don't know.
Do you know who Jared Taylor is?
I don't.
No, actually.
Jared Taylor's an older guy who speaks at universities and has... Like, he has Long Island lockjaw. Like, well, hello, I'm going to tell you about the difference between the races. And actually, he's a little different. He might have coined the term alt-right, or was that Richard Spencer? Anyway, we digress. But so basically, the governor of Florida, you know, a place where there are often headlines like Florida man smokes PCP in Walmart parking lot and wrestles alligator to death. Like, that's a common headline, that kind of thing. To the point where Florida man is a hashtag on Twitter because there are so many insane real news items that start with Florida man, blah, blah, blah. Florida man eats jogger's face while on drug, you know, like that kind of stuff. So Florida man, Rick Scott, declared a state of emergency because free speech, because some guy's going to come talk about ideas that, you know, a lot of people find kind of ugly, and maybe they are kind of ugly, but you don't need to declare a state of emergency because someone's going to speak. See, here's the thing with him declaring that state of emergency is it makes it sound like Richard Spencer's words are so violent, we need the National Guard. When in reality, leftists' reactions to Richard Spencer's comments are so going to possibly be so violent and have been other places that he's going to call in the National Guard. Like, you know, what was it? Who's the one gay guy that all the right wingers can say, I like a gay guy? The Milo Greek guy, what's his name? Yeah, Milo. The token gay in Republicanism, in hard Republicanism, spoke in Berkeley, and, you know, Berkeley, like, spoke, like, was going to speak, like, 50 feet away from the literal point, like, ground zero of the start of the free speech movement in America, where some guy got up on top of a Volkswagen and with a bullhorn and started speaking freely in the 60s, and it was an iconic picture that's, you know, on the cover of Life magazine. You can probably buy the rights to reprint it on your blog for $5,000 from Getty Images now. But they basically, like, tried to burn down the school because he was going to have free speech, you know, like a two-minute walk probably from where, less, a one-minute walk from where free speech started in America, free speech movement. So basically the leftists have gone full circle. They eat their own. And if you have unpopular ideas, there's something like, you know, someone did a survey and something like, you know, 59% of people age 16 to 26 believe that not only the Second Amendment should be rescinded, but that the First Amendment should have a bunch of asterisks after it. Like, you know, that you shouldn't be able to, that unpopular speech shouldn't be protected, which is antithetical to the whole point of not only the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, but the idea of free speech in general. So,
but what about people's feelings, Michael?
Yeah, that's the thing. So basically, you know, the internet,
I would like to point out,
go ahead
real quick,
sexy man,
when you say that the left eats their own, that actually includes Richard Spencer, because he has embraced socialism. So
yeah.
So wow. He's actually on the left.
I know, it's weird. It's really weird. National socialism. Yeah.
But sorry, continue.
Yeah. So yeah, what's the horseshoe effect? When you go so far right, you become like left. You know, like, really, was there a difference between, you know, Stalin and Hitler? I mean, they say Hitler was right wing and Stalin was left wing, but they both killed millions of people that they didn't agree with and had a smile on their face and thought it was for the greater good while they did it.
Stalin killed more.
Stalin won. Yeah. So this weaponized hashtag thing is basically, you know, I'm not going to say it's all George Soros or something, but it's keyboard warriors who have decided that by pretending to unite people, they can divide people and conquer, divide and conquer. So whenever somebody wants you to do something that everyone else is doing, which, first of all, I just have a big problem with, like, oh, put a French flag as your avatar to show your solidarity, you know, there's that, or post Me Too if you've been molested. You know, there's a really good cartoon I saw somewhere. It was a drawing of, like, two apartment buildings in, like, New York City kind of place where there's a bunch of open windows and you can see people in their apartments and everybody's hashtagging, you know, I stand with her, protect women, stop rapists, you know, feminism, me with her. And then outside the window in the alley, there's a woman screaming for help while a guy holds a knife to her throat. And they're all ignoring it with their windows open, hashtagging about protecting women. I found that really telling. That's what weaponized hashtagging is about. It's about doing nothing, feeling like you're doing something, and stirring up people's emotions against each other so it's easier to control them. So Daryl kind of made fun of this today. And what did you post exactly? I posted something much more offensive, but you're not hell banned yet by Facebook for having said loudly, you know, Islam is toxic. So go ahead. What happened?
I posted,
show me where Zuckerberg touched you.
Okay. I posted, I find it tiresome and disturbing when a bunch of my friends post the same thing, especially if it's a hashtag vaguely worded divide and conquer issue of the day. I'm glad I know folks who value originality and clarity, and folks who don't need an echo chamber to validate their reality. Try not following the crowd, perhaps? And I posted that pretty early this morning, or early for me, by the way, and then quite a storm of, you know,
excrement. A poo storm
happened.
I was having an actual poo storm while you were having a figurative
virtual poo storm.
Yeah, yeah.
Poo of words.
Because you're like 4 hours earlier than me in Mountain Time, and I was up prepping and having a poo storm.
I had people say F you, Daryl. Yeah. I had things like that, you know. And but
weaponized victims, like victims. Victimism is weaponized now.
So my thing is, I do have personal issues that I'm still working on. I'm not perfect because I haven't absorbed all of Michael's greatness over there yet, but I'm working on it. So
hashtag user's manual for the human experience.
Hashtag I'm still basking in your superiority, Michael. So anyway,
that sounds really sarcastic. What are you saying to me?
I'm trying to make a joke. I'm using words, man.
I
I'm
hope
like,
that's okay.
You're awesome.
You triggered me.
Yeah.
You sounded like. But you know, I cannot fire you guys. You guys have tenure. Especially Phil, he went away and came back, and Daryl, you know, like I make a bunch of alt-light jokes and make fun of nonviolent communication and, like, you know, the Jewish guy who's into nonviolent communication laughs and doesn't leave the show. That's not triggered. I like that.
Not triggered. No.
Alt-light.
But I triggered
alt-light,
other people.
Not alt-white. Yeah.
And I got people yelling at me, and that was really me. Just, you know, I have an issue with people all doing the same thing at the same time.
Yeah,
I have
man.
An issue with an appeal to authority. I
don't even
I
like Christmas or holidays because of that stuff. Because I don't like New Year's Eve because I don't like being told when to party. Like when I was just walking wounded, drunk. Like when I could barely stand up, drunk. Like age 25 to, or like, you know, 21 to 24 before I cured my alcohol addiction with heroin. Hashtag don't try this at home. I actually did that, but don't do that. But I was, I forgot what I was going to say. I was going somewhere. Anyway, so people got really mad at you because you expressed your feelings, and they basically, like, half of your friends who'd been molested, which is like a third of people have been molested.
Yeah.
And if you're going to open this up to have been sexually harassed, I mean, that's pretty much all women and a lot of males, especially when they're young.
Everybody.
Like I was molested. I was molested. I'm speaking here. I was molested by a neighbor when I was 8 and he was 15, but I got over it. I turned out fine. Maybe, allegedly. But I don't wear it like,
you must respect my authority to be a victim.
We'll be back with Redemption.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Worms, we're back. Freedom Fiends are back.
We are back on the Freedom Fiends, and we've been talking about this hashtag MeToo campaign. And I wanted to actually expand before we jump into the redemption. I want to expand on a point that Michael was making. He said that, you know, one third of people have been molested in their life. You know, almost everybody has been harassed in some way. And the fact is, if I would be absolutely astonished if not everybody outside of maybe the Amish and Mennonites have been harassed. And certainly I'm actually surprised that only one third of people have been molested is more intense, but certainly a very large number of people have been sexually assaulted, with how much that includes, including stuff like groping, things like that. And the reason why is simply because of the law of large numbers. Because the number of people you meet on, you know, throughout your life is so high, of course you're going to meet some jerks. Of course people are going to harass you. That does not mean it is some sort of epidemic of everybody's harassing people or every man is harassing people. It's just the sheer number of people that you meet throughout your life. It has to happen. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not something that needs to be addressed. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't still work to diminish it as much as possible. But it's when you misframe this thing, the way that this campaign and feminists are apt to do, then you're not helping the problem.
How many men are in U.S. prisons right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's their situation, molestation and assault-wise, right now? Just curious.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying it might be actually a higher number of actual men, U.S.-wise, getting assaulted.
Probably.
Than the free women, you know. I'm saying free in quotes, by the way, because, you know, of all the laws and regulations and such.
You know, here's another thing. The claim, the Twitter campaign, the call to action was framed specifically for women. What if women used this hashtag to every woman that was sexually harassed or sexually assaulted? So men were, of course, the implication is men do not have this problem. This isn't a problem for men, but of course it's a problem for men. And that was something that was pointed out in the articles, how surprised they were at how many men were coming forward saying Me Too.
So
and you think
we
men
need
don't
the redemption,
right?
Yeah, we need the redemption right now. And let's just say, worldwide and certainly United States of America in general, do you understand if, since you do have some degree of statistics, is there a reduction worldwide in violence? Is there a worldwide reduction in
I can't speak with
violence?
Confidence, but I'm relatively well. Actually, I can. I do know that there is a decrease in certain violent crimes, like murder rates are going down in general, and I think most violent crimes are as well.
Wow, well that's redemption, and that just is happening because people probably are getting what they want. Without going to such extremes, you know, that's just my opinion.
I don't know what the direct causes are. I can't speak to that, but I do know that in the general trend for violent crime worldwide per capita is decreasing.
For the redemption, I have begun getting eggs for my chickens over here. Okay, so just adding to the redemption thing, me and Phil grew some warm and fuzzy feelings between us during the show tonight. That's some redemption. So just adding to things here, would you like to give to the redemption list, Phil?
Oh, honestly, I'm a pretty
You have nothing to be thankful
guy.
For? Oh my gosh. My gosh. So, okay. Well, then I'll be the optimist for you if you want. You know, I could just optimist all over you right now.
Well, that's good. I appreciate that. It's a little sticky, but, you know, I'll go with it.
Yeah, just here it is. Just throw down large into Ethereum and Ether tokens right now, because 3-digit Ethereum is only a matter of time before it goes to 4-digit. I'm just saying. And that's a cryptocurrency, not a piece of
that's
advice. Hashtag do it anyway.
Disclaimer, we are not official representatives of any sort of financial institution or opinions are our own.
You invest at your own risk and everyone takes 100% responsibility for all the actions that they do and 0% responsibility for anything that anyone else
Past
does.
Past performance is no guarantee of future return.
It's been an awesome show with you, man. You're awesome.
Worms.
Worms.
Thanks.